That takes us to... theoretically, a break, but we're not ready for a break yet. Let's do going concern before the break. Paper 7, 7A, 7B. April, you ready to go?
Yep. Right, paper 7. The Interpretations Committee proposed a narrow scope amendment to IS-1 about the disclosures relating to an assessment of going concern. But at its November meeting, the ISB decided not to proceed with the amendment. You discussed this in March 2014, and the tentative agenda decision is the record of those discussions. The paper analyzes 6 comments letters received. These are in Appendix A to the paper. There is a 7th letter in Appendix B that was received too late to be included in the analysis. Of the 6 papers, 3 agreed with the agenda decision. The others commented on 4 aspects of the draft agenda decision. Firstly, the reference to other sections of the standard. One respondent thought that the reference to paragraph 122 of the standard was helpful. The other two queried whether that section was relevant. And one of those suggested that the reference would increase diversity in practice and lead to unnecessary disclosures. We don't propose changing the wording of the agenda decision for these comments because we think that the discussion that took place in March and its reference to paragraph 122 reflects the reasoning behind the agenda decision. 2 comment letters comment that the agenda decision did not contain an explicit reason not to take the issue onto the agenda. And we note in the paper that the agenda decision doesn't contain an explicit assessment of the issue against the agenda criteria, because this assessment was carried out by you in November 2012, at which time the issues were added to the agenda. The purpose of the agenda decision is to close the loop by acknowledging that the topic was subsequently removed from the ISB's agenda. And so we propose revising the agenda decision to make that removal explicit. 2 respondents comment that the agenda decision doesn't refer to the nature of the disclosure required, and 1 respondent suggests that we distinguish between the hurdle for disclosures about going concern and the hurdles for going concern as the basis of preparation of the financial statements. These topics were not discussed in March, and because the topic has been removed from the ISB's agenda, we don't think it's worthwhile at this stage to extend those discussions. And consequently, we don't propose amending the decision for this. So the staff recommendation is to amend the agenda decision only to provide context by making it explicit that the ISB has removed this topic from its agenda by adding the wording that we note in paragraph 28, to say, decided not to propose with these amendments and remove the topics from its agenda. So the questions for you today are, do you agree with the staff recommendations not to revise the wording of the agenda decision with respect to the references to the other paragraphs, the lack of guidance about the nature of disclosures required, and distinguishing the 2 thresholds? And do you agree to revise the agenda decision to include a reference to the ISB removing this from its own agenda? And do you agree with the drafting which appears in Appendix 1 for the agenda decision?
As a reminder, again, at least my recollection, when it was reported back, when the staff reported back, the board's decision, several members of this committee were more than mildly concerned. Some were quite disturbed. And the discussion around the table was on the line of, can't we do something to at least close the loop? And so April described, I think, the essence of our conversations correctly, that we were trying to just close the loop, to recognize that the board had decided that this was not an area they wanted to take forward, acknowledge that, and go forward. That's my recollection of how the issue developed around this table. So with that in mind, comments, Mark?
Yeah, my question goes into that direction, whether more or less this means that it is no longer a narrow scope amendment. So that means remove the topic from its agenda for narrow scope amendments, or remove the topic from its agenda overall so that one never want to come back to this topic. What is meant? The last one?
It's the last one, yes. It's been completely removed from the ISB's agenda.
Not going to talk about it anymore right now. Is that consistent with your understanding, then? Okay. Andrew?
It's focusing on the final paragraph of the proposed agenda decision. I think it's very clear in context that the reference to paragraph 122 is around the judgment in whether or not to make disclosure, not around the judgment as to whether or not to adopt a going concern basis of preparation. A couple of the comments have said paragraph 122 doesn't actually apply to a judgment about whether or not to give a disclosure. And I guess semantically, I can read paragraph 122 in that way. That kind of is what it says, in all honesty. But I think perhaps the can I invoke the spirit of this paragraph? The spirit of this paragraph is to disclose the most important judgments. And this could be a very important judgment in the context. I don't think we are suggesting, especially given increased emphasis on making appropriate judgments about what to disclose and what not to disclose, we're asking for a description each time we use a judgment not to make other disclosures. It's just an important judgment, and this is a helpful reference in the context.
Reinhardt?
My comments were going to be very, very similar to Andrew's. I think we all, Wayne, this was, I think we, when we had the discussion, we recognized that paragraph 122 read literally could be argued not to apply, but I think it's really the principle behind paragraph 122, which was seen as being the hook to provide disclosure about a significant judgment that management had made, where, you know, there were circumstances that suggested that the entity may not be a going concern. Management looked at the circumstances, concluded on balance that it was a going concern, and the disclosure under paragraph 25 need not be made. And so we thought that that was a significant enough judgment to be have some disclosure around it. So I would agree with the staff proposals on this item.
Laurence?
It is around the same issue. That is, do you have to disclose every time you make a judgment that you, a significant judgment that you shall not provide some disclosures? And this is how some are reading that agenda decision, that it may set a precedent for other cases, that you may have to justify why in some other cases you did not disclose something, and that you have made a significant, you have taken a significant judgment in making that conclusion. I know this is not what we had in mind when we drafted this. What we wanted only to point at is provide disclosures when indeed significant judgments have been made to conclude that you continue as a going concern. That's the only thing we were after. But I acknowledge that I've heard those comments. So I'm a little bit stuck about the wish to be faithful to what we decided and be helpful in that respect. And those other feedback I'm hearing to say, watch out, you're setting a precedent here for disclosures. Do you have a way to explain when you make significant judgment in terms relating to disclosures for not providing certain disclosures?
Michael, John, and then Bruce.
Yes, I think it is unlucky to have the 122 reference in the response there. I mean, it's the paragraph 25 is very clear in my mind how you should deal with this, and it is very clear that you shall prepare financial statement at going concern basis if not certain things actually is the case, and then you should disclose. And to have a paragraph, another disclosure paragraph about another paragraph in the standard that is about disclosures, I think is strange, so to speak. And I also see on one of the comment letters there that the one that is positive to include this, that this gives opportunities then to give out further instructions how to interpret this. So I think that is unlucky to include.
John?
I mean, I agree with the respondents, and I've heard this outside of the responses, that the people are not clear how people are not clear if paragraph 122 applies, and if it does apply, how it actually applies. In other words, what disclosures are required to be made under paragraph 122. So I don't think the reference to paragraph 122 is particularly elegant or even necessarily helpful. I do think one of the things that was raised in one of the letters that I thought was, I mean, we did discuss when we first discussed this issue the fact that this committee did consider there was a different hurdle for the basis of going concern, for the basis of preparation, and going concern for the disclosure of material uncertainties. But that doesn't appear anywhere in the rejection notice, that we actually did consider that those were not the same. And one of the issues that came to us for discussion when the submission came was that the diversity in practice seemed to be that some constituents believed that the hurdle for disclosure of material uncertainties was the same as the hurdle for not using the going concern basis of preparation. It seemed to me it would be more helpful if the committee was prepared to say that those hurdles were not the same, and that you reached a disclosure threshold about going concern uncertainties before you actually reached the non-preparation of going concern financial statements, but we don't say that anywhere. So I don't think the rejection statement is particularly helpful. We also mentioned and have added that it was taken off the agenda, the ISB removed the topic from its agenda, but it's not quite clear why the committee has removed it from its agenda. I think we need to add after that ISB, after that sentence, and remove this topic from its agenda, we need to say consequently the committee has removed the item from its agenda, because that doesn't actually explain why we have not dealt with the issue.
I would have thought that was given, but it's not harmful. We can certainly do that. Bruce?
I just had a couple of comments. The one was exactly the same point John just made when we discussed this. A couple of the comments firstly were exactly that. Well, are we talking about the threshold and applying going concern, or are we talking about the disclosure? The other one just was the same comment was made around 122 in terms of what is that specifically talking to the issue we're looking at. But I guess the other side is, you know, a number of people pointed out, but hang on, there's about two or three or four different paragraphs in ISO 1 we could probably refer to try and get us to the same stage in terms of saying, you know, we don't want to have to nitpick every single disclosure. And the reason I agreed with taking it off was that I think you don't necessarily want to start giving more disclosures on how you have to apply judgments. I think it's a very, very dangerous path to go down. If you consider how many judgments we start applying, I think if we started giving more disclosures around this one, I think it's opening up, well, hang on, let's talk about everything else, and we could end up with a myriad of exactly the same issues on every disclosure every time somebody has to apply some sort of judgment.
Tony?
In my sense is the concern that the committee has is that, although the around the conversation that we had before, is that in the absence of any guidance about what has to be disclosed other than when there is a material uncertainty, the trend has been for there to be no disclosures other than when there is a material uncertainty. And we were trying to give people a steer to say, actually, no, if there is you make a significant judgment that there is not a material uncertainty, that is the sort of thing that ought to be disclosed. Now, I take everybody's points, and I think John put it well, that 122 is perhaps not the most elegant solution. But I think I'd be uncomfortable with taking a big step back from trying to give people a steer that if this is a material judgment, that there is not a material uncertainty, then there should be some disclosures. So I guess I'd be open to listening to somebody who could perhaps articulate a more elegant way of describing it. But in the absence of a more elegant way, I think I'd be inclined to support the position that the staff have.
this is ground we've been over an awful lot. And somebody raised the point of, well, do you have different thresholds for the basis of accounting and for the judgment? Obviously you do. We took all that up to the board, and the board looked at it as a package and said, we're not going to do it. So we're in an odd position as a wholly owned subsidiary of having our product line discontinued on this one. Given that, let's see if we can cut this short. Show of hands in support of the revised wording that April has prepared.
Ten.
Shall I put in the extra sentence about consequently the committee has removed?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Can we do the hybrid before a break?
That's a call for a break.
Yeah, I think a call for a break is always in order, even if it comes from Alan. So we'll take a break until quarter of